You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 Show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Hit us up, drop us a voicemail, a text message, questions, comments, anything you've got about this Bulls team so far. We're getting up to do our weekly mailbag tomorrow, along with a Suns preview. So we will get to that tomorrow's episode. So make sure you drop us a voicemail or a text message at 331-979-1369. So we've got a packed week. If you didn't listen to our episode yesterday, that had Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation on it. Today, we have Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic, senior writer covering the Chicago Bulls. He does awesome work. And if you are not subscribed to The Athletic, you should do that. Do it right now. TheAthletic.com/LockedOnBulls. Still 40% off. It's $2.99 a month. So continue to do that. Darnell Mayberry, great interview with him. We got into a bunch of stuff. He was at practice this morning. He was at shoot around, and he was also talking to Denzel Valentine. First time he's met the media after finding out that he will likely miss the entire season undergoing ankle surgery. So we got his thoughts, his reaction, what Denzel Valentine had to say, along with Fred Hoiberg. Get into a bunch of different things, including Wendell Carter Jr., Zach LaVine, where this team goes as far as leadership goes, his thoughts and seeing Duke live in person a few weeks ago, and a ton more. So once again, Darnell Mayberry today. We have Casey Johnson this week. We also have Sean Hyken this week, so get ready for that. So without further ado, here's The Athletic's Darnell Mayberry.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome back to the Locked On Bulls podcast, Darnell Mayberry, the Bulls senior writer for The Athletic Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter for all of his great Athletic content, Bulls content, at Darnell Mayberry. Darnell, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing all right, trying to find the light, find the positive in what has been a pretty tough start to the season. And, of course, the Bulls get another just dagger to the heart when it comes to the shorthanded roster with all of these injuries piling up, the update that came yesterday. I know you were just at media availability at Bulls practice earlier this morning. What is the latest you can tell us about this ankle instability injury update with Denzel Valentine? And what was the mood at practice today with this latest injury setback on an already struggling team?
The latest is that Denzel is basically going to miss the entire season. He's going to have reconstructive surgery next week, the week of the 26th. So he's waiting until after Thanksgiving, let the holidays pass, and then he's going to go in there and get reconstructive surgery done on his ankle, which they were calling ongoing instability, which is strange. But, you know, he says that he's doing well with it. He's processed it all. He's at peace with the decision that he made. It's a tough decision, knowing that he's going to have to miss the entire season. But he says his ankle hadn't been right since, you know, probably college, his early college days at Michigan State. So he feels like this is the best decision for him because his ankle just has never been all that great. And he thinks that there's a chance that he might have never played on an ankle that was 100%. So he's being optimistic, thinking that he's going to come back bigger, better, stronger, faster, whatever, all of those things, and be a better player.
That's one thing that I noticed from the video that I saw from him at just talking to the media. He seemed in good spirits about this injury. And, you know, prior to the contrary, it seemed like he was frustrated with the timetable of his return and not knowing what the injury was exactly. When first diagnosed, was just kind of a mild sprained ankle. And now that he's got to go into having surgery and missing an entire season, I felt like he took the news all right. So to me, I feel a little bit better about that. But speaking in general, across all of these injuries with the Bulls, have there been any concerns about now all of these injuries kind of flaring up? And, you know, the timetables that were set for a lot of these guys have been pushed back. Markkanen's at his 8-week mark. Dunn is at his 4-week mark, and nothing has really changed. So has there been kind of a growing concern at all that all these guys with injuries are being kind of pushed back and we're not getting the good news that we were expecting?
No, I don't think so. You know, the timelines were always just more rough estimates than definitive timeframes. So the Bulls were never going to hold themselves to that 4 to 6 week mark on Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis, for example, or 6 to 8, whatever it was for, you know, Lauri Markkanen. They wanted to make sure that all of the players are always going to be healthy, tip top shape, no at risk of no further injury, things like that. So I don't think that there should be too much concern or panic, because guys are progressing. Lauri Markkanen's out there shooting, and doing non-contact portions. Fred Hoiberg said when we just talked to him that he's going to do one more day of non-contact, and then they're going to evaluate, and maybe he can do contact. So it looks like these guys are now progressing to the point where they shouldn't be too much further along. By December, at some point, we should see these guys come back. And I don't think it's a cause for concern that the injuries are more severe. I think maybe they're just being more cautious and giving these guys a little bit more time, which also could be strategic.
Well, of course, you know, we know that Bulls fans are looking forward to getting guys like Markkanen and Dunn and certainly Bobby Portis back. When it comes to Denzel, though, Darnell, how do you analyze what this injury setback and what this update may do as far as providing an opportunity for other guys on this roster? Because, you know, Fred's been very shorthanded for the first 20 or so games of this season. You're seeing guys like Blakeney get extended minutes, Shaq Harrison, who they picked up off the trash heap, getting minutes. And he's just kind of doing what he can to fill minutes for guys. We did hear that Riley Alkins, one of their two-way guys, was practicing with the Bulls recently, earlier this week, after he has been spending most of his time with the Windy City Bulls. Do you think that Denzel being what we expect to be out for the season provides an opportunity for any guy or any couple of guys in particular?
Chandler Hutchinson, he's the first guy I would look at, and he's really made the most of his opportunities for a rookie who is being thrown into the fire unexpectedly. He thought he was going to be a bench player, end of the bench player, who never really got into the game coming into the season. So he became a valued role player, a much needed role player. And then now, at some point I think he started a couple games, and now he's back to that off the bench role, but he's still a key contributor right now and trying to do everything he can to make a name for himself and prove that he belongs in the rotation. So I think he might be the biggest beneficiary, but obviously there are a lot. Ryan Arcidiacono is proving that he can play in this league. He's obviously not a starter, but he's proven that he can give you good backup minutes. and knock down open shots when he gets opportunities. So I think a lot of these guys are going out there, Shaquille Harrison, looking for a job and, you know, is showing the league what he can do defensively and making defense offense. So I think a lot of these guys are really taking advantage of it individually. It's just they're not nearly good enough to be able to come together as a team and make it matter on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that all of those guys, Antonio Blakeney, Shaquille Harrison, and Chandler Hutchison, all of in certain spurts have shown positive things, and yet maybe that opportunity individually has been a little bit better than as a team. So maybe it's more so, it sounds like Fred Hoiberg's just going to go with the guy that he feels most confident in that role. Whoever's hot, basically, is going to get more opportunity. But going to another rookie on this team, obviously one of the bright spots of this Bulls team so far has been Wendell Carter Jr. What has been your overall evaluation of Wendell Carter Jr., and were you expecting him to be this good this early?
No, he's so good in so many areas of the game. That's the thing that is most surprising to me, because, you know, we knew that he was, you know, a good defensive player. We knew he was a solid shot blocker, and he showed the ability to step out and hit the mid-range jumper and even extend out to the three-point line. Occasionally. So, but the little things that he's doing is really what's really grabbed my attention through his first, you know, 15 to 20 games. He's really special, I think, in terms of his maturation and how he thinks the game. I don't see a lot of 19-year-olds coming into the league like that. I mean, you know, LeBron James was on that level, obviously mentally. Ben Simmons is on that level mentally. You know, I think Donovan Mitchell, you might be able to put in that category, but they're just not a lot of guys. Chris Paul came in like that, but Wendell Carter, for a big man to come in and think the way that he does, and make it look as easy as he has, you don't see that very often. I know I just threw out some huge names, you know, talent wise, he's not there, but I just think the way he thinks the game is really special, and that's what stood out.
We're talking with Darnell Mayberry, who covers the Bulls for The Athletic Chicago, here on Locked On Bulls. Follow him on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry. Darnell, talking about Wendell's maturity level as a 19-year-old rookie, I know that you and some of your colleagues who are on this, you know, on this beat covering this team have been curious about some of these comments Wendell has made in the locker room post game following some of these most recent blowout losses, and about how this team is lacking that one voice and maybe that one true leader on the floor. And somebody like Zach LaVine, who is a few years his senior and certainly the offensive scoring leader of this team, said, "Hey, I don't have any issues with Wendell making comments like that. I think he's, you know, it's a great sign of his maturity." What do you make of these comments from Wendell, and how do you judge the leadership or lack thereof on this struggling young team right now?
Man, it's become, to me, I mean, obviously the injuries are a huge factor for this franchise right now, but it's become probably long-term, bigger picture, the biggest story, I think, surrounding the Bulls. Because you've got a 19-year-old coming in, you know, basically depending on your perspective, and I'm not one to jump at, you know, comments and try to, you know, read tea leaves and pin things on guys. But he has made some comments earlier with, you remember when he got pulled for Jabari Parker and Ish Smith got that game-winning layup when Wendell Carter wasn't in the game against Detroit earlier in the year, I think it was the second game.
Right.
So you go from that, where he expressed his displeasure with not being in the game. Some people would say calling out Fred. And then now you're seeing him talk about leadership. And I'm looking at guys like Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen and thinking, how do you guys feel about this? And I actually asked Zach LaVine that at the start of this week. And he gave a great response. He gave some great quotes about it. But I'm thinking, for a 19-year-old rookie to come in here and start questioning coaches' decisions and the leadership, that's not a knock on Wendell Carter. To me, that's a knock on the guys who are supposed to be leaders in that locker room and for this team. So I'm interested in seeing how Wendell continues to develop as a leader. And I'm interested in seeing if they're really going to allow that to happen this year with him as a rookie and let him blend in with his different leadership style, or if they're going to try to suppress it and tell him to go sit in the corner because he's a rookie. Like, obviously they need to let him be a leader. I think that goes without saying, but I just don't know if these Bulls are capable of figuring it out and understanding that this kid is special and he's going to be a part of the future.
It blows my mind when I think about the fact that there's a potential that they could just say, and you're just a rookie. You don't know what you're talking about right now. See, like, to me, the Bulls have four guys right now that have 5+ years of experience in the NBA, three of which are probably not going to be on this roster next year, correct? So we're looking at a very young team. And, you know, as much as it is a rookie, a lot of these guys don't have that much experience either. And, you know, you point to Zach LaVine, which his leadership style is a little bit different than I think some other guys on this team. But does it start on the floor? Like, where do we start to try and find that leader or find that missing hole if it is one of the guys that are injured? Does it start on the floor? Is it in the locker room, off the court? What are guys doing? And do you see it maybe as Portis and Dunn on the floor, you know, kind of missing that leadership voice on the floor and that kind of permeates off? Or is it just overall the mood is kind of, they're still trying to feel each other out and still trying to figure out which guy is going to take that role? And Matt and I have said multiple times that we think it starts with Dunn, with the guy that's going to be a voice on the floor. It started with Portis, and it happened with Portis early on this season before he got hurt. So where does it come from? Is it guys getting called out in the media, or does it start on the floor with somebody speaking up?
I mean, at this moment, it starts with Zach LaVine. I'm not putting it all on Zach because, you know, he's got so many of his guys out. I would say five of the team's six best players are out right now. So, but I would say Zach LaVine, it starts with Zach because he's healthy, he's available. He can't allow what we've seen in these second, third, and fourth quarters over the last three games. At some point, he's got to, I think, on the court, restore order. And maybe he's learning how to do that still. He's made a lot of progress. He's shown a lot of development in his game, and you got to give him a lot of credit, especially after all the criticism he took for the contract. He's living up to that. But there are still some other steps that he needs to take, and I think right now it starts with him. But you bring up a good point, Jordan. You know, when these guys are healthy, Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis are going to be those vocal leaders. They're going to be those emotional leaders. And right now they just don't have the talent to actually make it even a big deal that they're lacking leadership. I mean, Ryan Arcidiacono, as much of a competitor as he is, he's not going to lead a team in the NBA. Cameron Payne's not going to do that. Shaquille Harrison's not going to do that. Antonio Blakeney's not going to. You know, so the guys that they're playing right now, Hutchinson's a rookie. Wendell's a rookie, getting rookie calls. You know, they just don't have the personnel to be able to do that. And until they do, I think it's unfair to you know, start pointing the finger about leadership here. And I'm not going to make that a big deal. But when those guys get back, yeah, it's on all of them. Chris Dunn, Markkanen, LaVine, Portis, those guys have got to step up and really set the tone for this franchise and say, we're not going to get embarrassed like we have been getting embarrassed the last two seasons.
Well, Darnell, when we talk about leadership on this young team and we're talking about expectations of young players being vocal leaders on the floor and missing a voice like Chris Dunn or missing a voice like Bobby Portis and simultaneously talking about these embarrassing losses, to me, it's funny and it's kind of odd that we talk about all these young players and leadership before we talk about Fred Hoiberg and leadership. He's the head coach of this team, and he talks after pretty much every loss that the Bulls have endured recently, where they're getting blown out by, you know, 30 points in a single quarter, and they're losing with these huge point margins, coughing up leads and losing big, like games against the Bucks.
And Fred just kind of seems to have the same cookie cutter answers every time. And he also cites, like, you know, not ready to play, not enough energy. People around this team, watching this team, saying things like, there's a difference between a lack of talent when you're going up against an opponent and a lack of energy and a lack of effort. I certainly have seen through certain games and through certain spurts of games, lack of energy and lack of effort. What amount of that is not on these young players, but on Fred to get them ready? Because I see Fred Hoiberg on the sidelines sometimes. You know, he's rolling his eyes at this. He's throwing his hands up in desperation at that. He's putting his head down in his hands saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I'm watching. Calling timeouts, but nothing gets fixed in the timeouts. And then there are some Fred defenders saying, look at what he is being asked to coach with. Look at what he's being asked to work with on a nightly basis, as depleted as this roster is. How much of the responsibility do you think should be on Fred when it comes to things like leadership and getting this undermanned team ready to play on a nightly basis?
I see both sides, Matt. I really do. I think that it's a really tall order or big ask of him to go out there and perform, have this roster perform at a high level. That to me is that's a big ask. I see the point, though, the counter argument that you still shouldn't be down by 40. You still shouldn't be giving up 92 points in a half. You know, those things are indefensible. You can't argue against those moments when the Bulls look like trash. But what's he supposed to do? What's he supposed to do, guys?
I don't have any answers, Darnell. I just wonder
about
what.
Me.
I mean, I just wonder.
Long dramatic pause.
But whether or not Fred's voice is still reaching his young players, because at a lot of times it seems like his voice is no longer reaching this team.
And you might be right. You might be right. There are some examples that I won't get into here because I need to write it for The Athletic, frankly. But there are some examples over the last several weeks that, you know, at least have raised some eyebrows, you know, for myself and for people who are around the team regularly. So, you know, it's possible that some guys have tuned him out. I certainly don't think that he has the best relationship with Jabari Parker. But, you know, like,
can you blame him? I mean, come on.
Right. It's Jabari Parker. So, like, I mean, what's he supposed to do? Jordan, you got any answers?
It's at this point, you know, you time and time again, I've sat here and talked about Fred Hoiberg and said, I feel bad for the roster he's been given. He's been thrown all of these negatives. And, you know, it's like one thing after another, and you finally felt like maybe this is the season. The Bulls are fully healthy, come back, and then they lose their four starters. And it's like, well, now do you blame that on Fred Hoiberg? And what's he supposed to do with a roster that's not constructed to win games in the NBA? Frankly, he's coaching half the Windy City Bulls from last year, if we're being completely honest. So I got to give him that credit in that sense. But, you know, the common theme, and I was going to ask you this, Darnell, if it's worried you at all when watching or listening to a young team, is talking about lack of energy and lack of effort. And like, we don't give it for full amount of game, give it for a quarter at a time. You know, first quarters have been really good for the Bulls. And then all of a sudden it drops off in the second and the third quarter, and even halftime adjustments too. So at that sense, the X's and O's on the floor too can be kind of head scratching at times. So I think from what we've heard from the fan base and what we kind of see now with this roster, I just don't think Fred has any limb to stand on at this point. And even if he does survive this, like tuning out players, like players tuning you out and all playing individually and then not giving that effort, all goes back to nobody's really buying in. So at this point, I've got my hands raised to it. You know, Fred Hoiberg, not given the greatest situation, but what can you do? You can't cut all 15 players in the roster.
Well, let me say this, and this is a little bit of a, it's not even a defense. It's just, I think, some perspective. One, the lethargic moments that this team shows really come against the elite teams, the Warriors. This recent three-game stretch against the three best teams in the Eastern Conference. It's not like they're getting their doors blown off against teams that they're either evenly matched up against, slightly better than, or you know, maybe just a tier below. They're getting their doors blown off by the elite teams in the league. So I think you got to give them credit for competing with the teams that they are on the same level with. And then the second thing is Fred Hoiberg is not in a position where, for example, Scott Brooks. He's not in a position like Scott Brooks where he's got a quality roster and they're still not playing for him. They're still not going out there and playing with effort and playing for each other and playing hard, you know. So it'd be one thing if Fred Hoiberg had that type of roster, but he's got Zach LaVine and a bunch of dudes. So, I mean, maybe that gives some perspective to what he's actually working with and the job that they've done in this rough patch. But, again, I see both sides. I can see the frustration and the people who say his time should be up, and I could see the defenders saying, this is his fourth different roster in 4 years. They've been injured. What do you want him to do?
I agree about the schedule, too. Like, the Bulls have had a super difficult, you know, you look at the first 20 games, you're playing 12 teams that were potential playoff teams, 140-plus games, and then you had to play the Nuggets, too, who just missed the playoffs with 46 wins last year. And all these teams are looking to compete. You know, and we were just giving credit to the Bulls, too, and credit to Fred Hoiberg a couple weeks ago. Coming off that blowout, embarrassing loss against the Warriors at home, they played good basketball for 4 or 5 straight games against difficult opponents, opponents that we think that should be in the playoffs. And then it kind of fell off. It's like Zach LaVine's scoring fell off. He looked tired and depleted, and it came up just barely scraping a win against the Cleveland Cavaliers and then not looking great on Monday night. And so I don't know what to say about the team now. Is you don't have another secondary score, and that's been a main problem. But I want to shift our theme here a little bit because I want to go to another positive. We talked about Wendell Carter Jr. as being a nice positive for this Bulls team. Can you talk to me about Zach LaVine, though? Zach LaVine, I think the expectations of him coming in this season, he's basically exceeded every expectation, if I'm assuming correct, coming in, scoring at the clip that he did, you know, putting up 30 points per game in consecutive games, doing everything that Bulls fans doubted in the summer when the Bulls decided to match their offer of 4 years, $78 million. What kind of player do you think LaVine can be, and where does he need to grow? Besides the obvious, the defensive, where else can he grow as a player, and can he be the number one option on a team that's looking to get back to the playoffs somewhat relatively soon in the next few years? Can he be that guy?
Yeah, because you qualified it with a guy who can lead a team back to the playoffs. Is he the number one option on your championship team? I don't think so. I haven't seen that yet. But not saying he can't develop into that. Maybe he can. He's still very young. I think that's the thing that we all forget, is that I think the guy is only 23 years old. So he's got a lot of experience and a whole lot of talent. And it's in a young body, and he's dedicated. I can tell you that. Like, when I talk to the guy, he's really driven and dedicated to his craft and to getting better. So I think he can be an all-star player in this league. One thing he's got to work on, other than the obvious, which is defense. Let me think. You know, he's still, I think, shot selection. I think he's made great strides this season, shooting better shots. But there was a game, I don't know if it was the, I think he set out the Raptors game. What other home game did they play? I think it was one of the last home games.
Against Boston last Wednesday?
No, that was there. They played someone at home, but it was a close game late. And the point is, he took a rush three when he could have easily just probably tried to get to the basket, put some pressure on the defense late in the game. It was a late game situation that he took the, you know, the hero shot as opposed to taking the smarter, more high percentage shot perhaps. And I think he still does that while he's trying to prove himself. And I get it. It's understandable. You know, this is his show him who you are year. And he's trying to show the world who he is. And that's going to be, there's going to be nights where he's taking hero shots like that. But you know, I think he just needs to make the smart play late in games. You can also show the world who you are when you make the smart play. And if he can do that, I think he can really take his game to the next level in the clutch. So that's one thing I think he could improve on.
Darnell, before we let you go, we just wanted to get your thoughts on what's going on with, I mean, you mentioned Scott Brooks earlier, the Washington Wizards. And I enjoyed your remarks on Twitter earlier this morning about how Bulls fans should, you know, thank their lucky stars that our situation might be bad, but at least it's not as bad as what's going on with the Wizards over there. And the fact that team, we're now hearing, you know, recent reports that they might be about to hit some kind of fire sale mode where they're putting players like Wall and Beal and on the trading block and trying to get out from under Otto Porter's horrible contract. Jordan and I get a lot of questions on our podcast about whether or not any of those pieces might be something that the Bulls should be picking up the phone and making calls about, saying, you know, Dunn is injury prone. He hasn't showed all that much. Maybe, you know, the Bulls should go get John Wall to be the point guard and the leader of this rebuild, or maybe, you know, the Bulls can get something nice if they are to take on Otto Porter's huge contract, and they kind of do need some help with that wing position anyway. What are your thoughts on what's going on in Washington and whether or not any potential deals make sense between the Wizards and the Bulls?
Man, you know, we don't really have enough time to get into all of my thoughts. First of all, you guys know I grew up a Wizards fan. So
I did know that, yeah.
I didn't know that either.
This is making my blood boil, seeing all of this. I walked by. I saw someone in the Wizards front office who I've known for a while at the Champions Classic in Indiana a couple weeks ago. You know, that Duke, Michigan State, Kentucky, all of that. So I went down there to watch Zion Williamson and those guys. I can't believe we haven't talked about Zion Williamson, guys. But
oh, my
anyway.
Gosh. I don't want to get my hopes up, Darnell.
Yeah, don't get me started. Man, what a freak. But I walked by this guy I knew who works in the Wizards front office, and I'm saying hello to him, and right there is Ernie Grunfeld. And it took every ounce of professionalism in my bones to not go in on Ernie Grunfeld as the fan, as the long-suffering fan in that moment. So, you know, I've been close to just going full Twitter meltdown about the Wizards for about 2 weeks now. And it sounds like it's hitting the fan. And I just can't wait to see what the bottom is and how bad it has to get before Ted Leontis just says, okay, everybody out. Because that's what I'm really waiting on. John Wall's not the answer. I question how much of a leader Bradley Beal is if he's allowing it for 7 years. You know, Scott Brooks, I covered in OKC, great guy, but dominant personalities, I'm not sure he's your coach. You know, he did have some success, a lot of success with Russell Westbrook, but he also had some help in Mo Cheeks and, you know, Sam Presti's culture. The Wizards don't have that culture. And it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing for that city, which is a great basketball city. It's embarrassing for the NBA. One of its, I can't even say marquee franchises, but a franchise in a marquee city, the nation's capital, is an embarrassment. And it's just horrible. With all that being said, I'm not going to lie. I did float with John Wall, would you trade for John Wall if you were the Bulls, to someone the other day. I did float it. Privately, I didn't put it out there like on social media or anything because I don't want my mentions destroyed. But they need a star, guys. They need a star. I'm not saying John Wall is that guy with that, especially with that contract. But they got to find a way to get a star. And if they don't bottom out and get one of those Duke kids, you know, I mean, it could be back to 500 basketball and first round playoff exits.
Darnell, I want to get your thoughts on the prospects, but really quick, just to follow up on the Wizards, John Wall, isn't he owed like 42 or 47 million in like 2022, 23? Like, to me, John Wall would have been great 3 years ago, but to me, he looks kind of out of shape. The things that he's been saying, like, over the last 2 years have been super weird. Like, he had that comment about being the greatest shot-blocking point guard of all time. Like, I don't know, just very weird things from John Wall, and he's far from the player he was at Kentucky or coming out with the Wizards in his early years. So to me, I look at that team, and if we're going to get a star, then I would shift my focus to Bradley Beal. And then the conversation is, well, what do you trade for Bradley Beal? And that could go on forever. But if I'm looking at a star, like, Bradley Beal would be the guy I would want over John Wall, who's, like I said, owed a ridiculous amount of money, the same money they didn't want to pay Jimmy Butler just a few years ago for those same exact reasons.
I think, you know, like you said, 3 years ago, and I'm probably going to catch heat for this in Bulls country, but I probably would have taken John Wall over Jimmy Butler. So 3 years ago, yeah, to your point, that was the John Wall you wanted. And I would have given him that money 3 years ago, perhaps. But with everything that's come out now, I don't see any way you could do it. But could you imagine a lineup of John Wall, Zach LaVine? You need a three. Larry Markkanen at the four and Wendell Carter at the five.
I mean, yeah, if you find a three, that's a pretty awesome starting five.
If John Wall is got his head on straight. And I think that's kind of a growing question about John Wall. But I understand any Bulls fan that would say it'd be idiotic to trade for John Wall. But I think that is a mechanism that the Bulls have. And, oh, by the way, I looked up the contracts. Jabari Parker is making John Wall money. If they wanted to, you know, I'm not sure of the rules, so don't quote me on it or whatever, but, like, if they can trade that Jabari Parker contract and the Wizards are trying to get off of that John Wall money, I mean, they've got a mechanism to make it work. So how else are they going to get a star short of bottoming out this season? And hoping.
Well, I mean, the other option for this rebuilding team getting a star is, of course, through the draft. And, you know, if you want to knock this Bulls front office for questionable free agent signings, whether it's Jabari, whether it's Wade and Rondo from a couple years ago, the one thing that they have done well, more so than struggle with, is draft and find hits in the draft. And personally, I thought that this should be another tanking season for the Bulls. I know you want to see the development of the young players, and we're excited to see Markkanen and Dunn come back and what they look like, because we barely saw them as a trio with LaVine play together last season. But I think it's in this team's best interest to get another blue chip draft pick. And because this draft in 2019 is certainly shallower than the one last year, it's not like you're going to get a player of Wendell Carter Jr.'s caliber at, say, if the Bulls draft seventh again. You mentioned Zion a minute ago. So real quick before we let you go, your thoughts on this trio of draft prospects playing for Duke right now in Zion, RJ, and Cam Reddish. And how do you see them shaking out as far as 1, 2, and 3 if they do go 1, 2, 3? And who would you most like to see fit into this young Bulls core?
I love RJ Barrett. Like I said, I saw him play down there against Kentucky Kentucky in the Champions Classic. And I was blown away from, you know, the first 5 minutes. I know Zion Williamson's getting all the attention, or most of the attention and a lot of the praise, but I love how smooth and how effortless RJ Barrett is and makes everything look. And I think his shooting is something that could separate him at the next level. You know, obviously there's some questions about Zion Williamson's shot and whether he'll develop into a shooter. He can do everything else on the floor. I think you can live with that. But I just like all the versatility that RJ Barrett brings and his shooting component as well. So I think he would fit perfectly anywhere, but really with this Bulls team. I mean, that's your small forward that you're missing. If you could get him, I think the Bulls would have a championship core.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. And well, who knows? The Bulls have a big tank matchup coming up tomorrow night. DeAndre Ayton versus Wendell Carter, Bulls versus Suns, could be some pretty big tank implications, draft lottery standing implications in that one when it's all said and done coming into next spring. Darnell, as always, we appreciate you stopping by the Locked On Bulls podcast. For those of you who aren't aware, Darnell does an amazing column called Nuggets from My Notebook after pretty much every Bulls game. It's amazing content. It's great Bulls insight. If you aren't a subscriber to The Athletic Chicago already, I don't know what you're doing. You absolutely should be, so that you can get Darnell Mayberry's content, Stefan Noh's content, and all of that great Bulls content over at The Athletic. Darnell, appreciate the time, man. Keep up the great work over there at The Athletic. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
All right, thanks, Darnell. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. Have a good one.
Let's get about to it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks to our guest, Darnell Mayberry. Go follow him on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry and all of his work at theathletic.com. All of his Bulls coverage all season long. It's fantastic. If you are not a subscriber right now, go do that. theathletic.com/lockedonbulls for 40% off. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there. Drop us all of your questions, all of your voicemails, 331-979-1369. Later this week, we got Sean Hyken, and we also have Casey Johnson. So look out for both of those episodes coming out later this week. For Matt Peck, for Darnell Mayberry, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan, Matt, and Darnell, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com